Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is the Longevity Club Online. Fun, friendship, and finances for the fabulous decades ahead. Could I figure out any more alliterations for you? Well, this is the unique show that brings guests to you, answers your questions about everything from finances to good living to fashion.
And now it's time for Longevity Club Online with Adrienne Berg.
And hello, hello, hello. I am going to speak very, very slowly today because this show is dedicated to inner peace and clarity. Now, usually I make my presentations in a New York minute, but for those of you who don't know this show, we are the radio arm of the Longevity Club. Now, this is a club for healthy and wealthy aging. It's a group of people, and there are now thousands of us, who really are excited about getting older. We enjoy each day. We're surprised at what life is like for us in our 50s and in our 60s. Many of us are caregivers. The average age of a caregiver is only 46 years old. And there's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of change. There's a lot of transformation in our lives. And so we look for something that is spiritual, relaxing, peaceful. And usually, this longevity show does not give that to you. We talk about money and advocacy and how to get out there and how to jump from airplanes and become physically fit and do all the things that we may not have done when we were younger, because our motto is youth. It comes in all ages, and we're never too old to be who we could have been. So this is a show that generally spurs you on to greater and greater energy and enthusiasm, but not this hour. This hour I want to look at the flip side of that kind of energy in aging and take a look at some really more important things perhaps, and that's peace, physical peace, relaxation, peace of mind, the spa experiences, and you may be surprised to learn who I think are leaders in this field, because I think there's a great connection here. We're going to be speaking about a company which you probably know because most of you are very interested in your homes and home ownership, and every time we do something on boomer renovations, we get a lot of action. And so we'll be speaking to the Vice President of Mr. Steam and tell you all the new, innovative, and cool stuff in getting hot and relaxing. And then we'll speak to Dr. Jonathan Ellerbe, who you've been asking to hear from, who has written a new book, Returning to the Sacred. We talk about becoming wise, spiritual as we get older. So here is an emotional, spiritual, maybe energetic connection. And here is a body relaxation, home spa connection, so that wherever we go, we can take peace of mind and clarity with us. And before I introduce my first guest, I just want to remind you that we begin to prize peace, relaxation, being one with the universe, things that we perhaps in the past used to call touchy-feely in New Age, more and more as we get older. Now, I have a 17-year-old. A lot of you know that. And those who don't know me as a host, I'm Adrienne Berg. I've been on the radio and television for decades. I've won an Emmy. You perhaps know me from Oprah. But I'm one of those people who are the lightning rod for the baby boom generation. Born exactly in the middle of the generational cohort, which is 1946 to 1964, I have a 17-year-old, a 27-year-old, and I've done pretty much everything a couple of years before you did, so I can tell you what it's like. And my 17-year-old is not interested in peace and quiet. She can't wait to turn on the radio of her new car as loud as possible. Peace and quiet is not what she's looking for, and there's a reason for it. And that is she has to process what's going on outside of her. She's not processing her own inner power yet until she really knows the world. And so she's going to let that world in as hot and heavy and frequent as possible. We're on the other side of that spectrum. We have been processing the outside world. We're now beginning to process our inner world, our inside world. And that's a world that we have not spent as much time trying to control as perhaps we have our outside world, like where we live and what businesses we're in and who our friends are and where we travel and what we wear. So we're up to that now. It takes almost a lifetime to get up to managing the inner world. And part of that is just how we feel in our homes every day. And I can prove that because I can give you statistics. I don't want to bore you to the fact that when you go sell a home, people look at your kitchen and your bathroom. They hardly look at anything else. If those shine, if that's what is appealing to them, you're sold, even in this tough market. So many things come down to what have you created in your own home for your own inner peace day to day, and even for the resale value of it. And all this is all one piece. So we have somebody who's a great expert on this. His name is Dan Reinhardt. He's vice president of Mr. Steam. I just like the name because it's so cute. And we're going to be speaking to him right now about innovations that are going on that you can put right in your own home that will make a very big difference to you day to day and also in future value of the home. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good afternoon, Adrian. How are you today?
Good. I hope that you heard our little intro here.
I did. It actually made me relax and want to take a steam bath.
Right. Doesn't it do that? Because isn't there something that is really a relaxation response, a psychological relaxation response, that when you walk into a room that offers that feature, you relax even before you start?
Yeah, I think, that's one of the interesting changes that's happened in, bathroom design in the 2000s now is people are looking to create a spa-like atmosphere in their bathroom. And you're finding the tubs now become soaker tubs that are in there for with chromotherapy and aromatherapy options. And showers are being made with, waterfall-type sprays from overheads. They're adding chromotherapy lights to them. And the product that we manufacture, which is steam generators, allows you to kind of, what I say, complete the equation and create a spa in your bathroom. And I know that many people enjoy going to spas when they travel. And also, after a hard day at work, it's nice to stop maybe at your gym to exercise and then use a steam room. But to create it and have it in your actual home is something that's special and becoming more of a reality every day now with the innovations that have been coming through the steam bath industry.
Now, I think most of us, because the group that we're speaking to right now, our listeners, they're very oriented towards successful aging.
Correct.
So most of us know that the skin is actually the biggest organ in our body. And detoxifying is a very important thing to do, and relaxing is a very important thing to do. But when it comes to putting a steam unit in an existing bathroom, how hard or easy is that right now?
It relies upon, really have to do two things. First, if you have a shower enclosure in there, you have to make sure the shower is completely enclosed from the top to the bottom of the floor, from the ceiling to the floor, because you don't want any steam escaping out into the bathroom itself. Shower door manufacturers make specific steam doors that allow that to be done relatively easily. With respect to the generator itself, the generator is very small. People think of a generator and they think of a big boiler, but an actual steam bath is no bigger than a briefcase. And typically, they're installed in an adjacent closet, perhaps underneath a bench that's built into the shower, in a heated attic or a basement. With just as long as you're within about 25 feet of the shower, you have no problem at all. So you never really see the steam generator itself. All you really see inside the shower itself are the controls that operate it.
Right, and like everything else today, you've got different finishes. You can do nickel finishes and chrome finishes, and it's just really a shower control. It looks like a shower control.
Correct, and
the
steam head where the steam comes out of generally gets put towards the floor about 6 to 12 inches off the floor, and it's generally suggested to put it on the opposite side of the room where the person would be sitting. You usually put your control close to where you're going to be, about 4 to 4.5 feet up, and controls today can do a lot of things. They can, operate the time and temperature that you want to enjoy your steam bath at. But they can also control things such as chromotherapy lights, which have become very popular in showers now, too. And again, it gets back to the therapy mode of having light to create different moods or to help heal the body too.
I want to make that connection, and I want you to also mention the aromatherapy side of this. Yeah, go ahead.
And then the aromatherapy side is very popular now. With aromatherapy, there's really two types of aromatherapy scents that you can have. The type that are medicinal, which help the body. A scent like eucalyptus would come to mind. And then there's also the ones that are mentally good for you, too. And lavender is something that helps to relax you after a really rough day at work and drift away a bit. And we've actually taken it a step further and created a whole line of chakra senses, which correspond with the chakra points of the body, to blend the oils together and use the oils in conjunction with the different lights or the different colors of the chromotherapy light to help create ways to reduce stress, get rid of creative block, and just simply unwind.
Now, you see, I think from a business point of view and a cultural point of view, this is all about the baby boomer, of course, that's because I'm very baby boomer centric. There was a time that when you would talk about chromotherapy, which is really changing of colors and how colors affect your mood and even your central nervous system,
mm-hmm.
or aromatherapy, how scents bring back certain memories, open certain receptivities and chakras, which is really a part of Eastern medicine and its energy flow throughout the body, they would say, wait a minute, you know, let's get back to planet Earth.
Correct. Some people would say, what are you, crazy? But I think the first time people actually get to sit in a aromatherapy steam shower and they experience the different oils and perhaps the lights in conjunction with it, they really embrace it. I've seen the most common sense macho guys suddenly kind of crumble a bit when they actually got to go in there and use the right aromatherapy oils and really enjoy the steam bath. And it really does help create healing of the body, and that's the important thing too.
And I think that boomers have been around a lot. We have really created the spa industry and the massage therapies, Reiki, all this. And we go on vacations for that kind of thing. So we get it. We know that this is, we've enjoyed it in the past. And whatever we believe about it on an intellectual basis, we know that on a body basis, it's worked, it's helped. So this is amazing that we can bring it into our home. And by the way, we're going to send you to the websites and to your dealers. But I have to tell you something. The price points on this is very, very, very affordable. And that's another big change. There was really a time that this was only for facilities, you know, institutional, for the spas. Anyone can have this in their home now. It's less expensive than most bathtubs these days.
And the one interesting thing from an environmental standpoint on a steam bath, too, if you were to turn a steam bath on and let it run for 60 minutes, the average size generator would consume just a little less than 3 gallons of water. And compare that with a whirlpool tub, which holds 75 to 80 gallons of water, or even simply running your shower every day. A steam bath is a great environmental, has big impact on the environment too, saves water.
And again, boomers have spawned green. We're getting very conscious of water conservation lately. But we're also getting very conscious about what happens to us as we grow older. And one of the things that we know is detoxing, having good lung capacity, all of these things that just want, are all helped by relaxation. So let's get to letting everybody know how to find the website just for them to browse around. And then eventually they're most likely going to need to go to a professional. So let's hear who actually installed these things and how you recommend this. The process of putting in the steam.
Well, the website, our website is MrSteam.com, and that's just MrSteam.com. And on the website, you have a wealth of information, both on the features of the product and the ideas that we just talked about with steam therapy. As a matter of fact, we have a whole separate sub-site that is just devoted to steam therapy. And if you click on that, if you're a prospective buyer thinking about putting steam bath in your house, if you're remodeling your bathroom or purchasing a new house, it kind of shows you all the different aspects of your life that steam can benefit you, from the active you to the overworked you to the holistic you to the beautiful you to obtaining balance in life. All those places play into there, and it does give the user a lot of information, both from the benefits of steam, and then if you're interested, then you take the next step and you go to the main site, and it will show you the product itself. It will take you through a test of sizing the proper generator for your shower, and it will introduce to you all the packages of equipment that go with the product, from the Butler package, which takes all the best accessories that we sell, combines them together for the customer, and allows them to realize additional savings. And then, of course, if you wanted to bring the total spa package, we offer a spa package, which will give you an automatic aromatherapy pump that ties into your steam generator. So if you're in your steam room and you decide, gee, I really want to take an aromatherapy steam bath today, you press your aroma button on the control, and it will start pumping in oil into the steam line, and it will atomize into the steam room, and it gives the perfect delivery of an aromatherapy experience in your shower. Chromatherapy lights and even music. I was listening to your introduction where you were talking about your daughter liking to play music loud in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like to play music too, but not so loud. But
Exactly.
I love to listen to, you know, spa-like music when I'm sitting in the steam bath. It helps to relax you, and we have speakers that easily connect to any sound system, which are waterproof, that allow you to do that too.
I'm going to give you a little boomer senior spin on this, and then you said a couple of magic words. One was Butler package, and the other was beauty. And I want to get back to those, but here's a little spin. Many people don't know, unless they really study gerontology, that one of the things that does have an incapacity as you grow older is your senses. The first one to go really is smell. And that's why when you go into hospitals or nursing homes, or you go into an older person's home, you often actually don't like the way it smells. And I work with my clients who are generally businesses that want to reach boomers and seniors on just that, that's part of your brand, that things should smell good. But the reason they don't is partially that seniors lose sense of smell. They lose sense of taste. They lose sense of touch, just like you may see somebody having a mobility problem. Well, that's or a cognitive problem. This is typical. We all know that we're using reading glasses because it is typical to lose some of your ability to see. Well, the other senses go too. When you keep stimulating those senses through aromatherapy, chromotherapy, and sound, it's just like a muscle that you continue to use, and you don't get as flabby as you get older. Well, it's the same with the senses. So the more you're pouring in sensory stimulation into your life, the less you're going to degenerate with that. So this is also a feature that is kind of unsung about a benefit of something like this in your own home that allows you to do this every day. If I told you to lift weights every day and you have good muscle tone, you'd believe that. Well, if I told you to have sensory stimulation every day for your five senses, you may not realize that it's the same thing. But it is. It's lose it or use it. You use it or lose it. So this is another fascinating aspect of being able to do it in your own home. Now, boomers usually say, in their bedroom, what do they want? They want it to look like a great hotel. So that's why I like the name Butler package. It's almost like, you know, the catered to package. So what is that Butler package that Mr. Steam offers?
Well, the Butler package will give you your in-shower operating control and steam head. It will also give you a control that is outside the shower that you can locate anywhere within 60 feet of the shower that allows you to turn the unit on. I use the analogy, I have a steam bath in my house, and I have my Heat Tempo Start control right above my alarm clock. So when I get up in the morning, I take a steam bath in the morning, I turn my alarm clock off, I press my eTempo start, and the steam generator starts up. Typically, from a cold startup, a steam generator will take about 2 to 3 minutes before it'll start producing steam.
Mm-hmm.
And then the room, which is different from when you're in spas where it's running pretty much around the clock, will be warm within probably about 10 minutes. So it's a preheat button that can go anywhere outside the shower within 60 feet of the shower. And then you have a auto flush, which when you're using a steam generator, you're boiling water. I often use the analogy that a steam generator is a sophisticated tea kettle. And when you boil water, eventually you create minerals and sediment in the water that over time would affect the generator itself. And we have an auto flush option that after each use, the water cools in the tank, and then the tank opens up and flushes the generator, so there's no water, stagnant water sitting in the tank between uses. So every time the person uses steam bath, they get a fresh supply of water with the unit. Because I know many boomers have second homes.
Yes.
So they may use the steam bath, and for 4 or 5 months it may not get used, and this is one way to eliminate that water just sitting in the tank. So it really gives you every option that is required to have a great steam bath experience.
Well, one of the things that is absolutely true is, again, the second home. Second home is very interesting because the economy is not great.
Mm-hmm.
And that means a couple of things for boomers. One, although we're all agonizing over our 401ks and IRAs, we have been agonizing over the fact that we couldn't buy into the second homes that we dreamed of in the past. Now many of those second homes are going begging. And so that's the good news. I mean, it's not good news for people trying to sell it or for the developers that I work with every day. But since I do work with a lot of developers, I can tell you that they are hurting. They let me say that.
Correct.
You know it anyway. So this is the time, folks, to get your act together and to go down to the places that are near the water. And you're going to want something like this. You're going to want it because it is a long-term way of maintenance. You know, we're in the maintenance stage, I call it. It's not so much I want to look better. It's that I don't want to look worse.
Exactly.
But you said the magic words, though, Dan. This is, we're speaking with Dan Reinhardt, who's vice president of Mr. Steam. And he knows all about this stuff. He uses it himself. You said the magic word, which was beauty. On your website, you give the benefits of steam, health and relaxation and other things we may think of by ourselves. But where is the beauty? What does beauty have to do with it?
Well, the beauty part comes in the fact that, you know, as you age, and if you live in areas that where you have a lot of sun or it's dry, your skin over a period of time will dry out. And when your skin dries out, it has a tendency to wrinkle and accelerate age. You could also say the same thing about people that maybe smoke cigarettes, who the cigarette smoking will start to age them prematurely. One of the good things about a steam bath is you sweat. And when you sweat, you do two things. You eliminate toxins and impurities out of your system, but at the same time, you moisturize your skin. And when you moisturize your skin, you will, help to create a more youthful look. I always use the analogy of the countries in Scandinavia, the Swedes and the
yes.
Finnish people who basically one out of every four homes has a sauna in it, and they sweat bathe all the time. And you look at some of these people who are in their 60s and 70s, and they look like they're in their late 40s. They have an incredibly youthful look to them. They are they just seem to be living life to the fullest, and I think a lot of it comes back to doing the regular, as Dr. Andrew Weil called it, sweat bathing.
Yes.
In his book, 8 Weeks to Optimum Health, one of the key things to optimum health is to take a steam bath or a sauna at least once or twice a week.
And interestingly, in the book that we're going to be featuring in our next half hour by a spiritual leader, Sweat Houses is one of the 12 paths that he has listed as ways to spirituality. So the interconnectedness between disciplines is huge.
Yep.
When it comes to these things, it really is something that I love to talk about so much because, you know, we are holistic people. Most of the listeners have been in business for years. I mean, they really haven't been sitting in a circle, you know, trying to reach nirvana. And yet they all get the big differences that this kind of thing, you know, makes in their life.
And we even do stuff on our website to allow you to create at-home mineral mud masks that you can put on for your skin before you go into the steam generator that basically...
Are they from organic products that you could find?
Yep.
Is that, yeah?
Yep, it's powdered mud or clay, mostly bentonite or green clay, and it's available at most health food stores, and then non-carbonated mineral water, and we usually say 2 tablespoons of powdered seaweed. And you mix that together and rinse it, and then you put it on and step into the steam shower, and it's a great way to get a facial at home.
You know, again, interconnectedness, because if you go to Calistoga, if you go to anywhere almost in the world, any kind of spa, you're going to get pay $200, $300 for full body mud treatments,
mm-hmm.
maybe $100 for a mud face treatment. And these are the kinds of things that you can do for pennies, really, in the home. And that's amazing. And the other interconnectedness is one of the I get a lot of emails from people who are looking for second homes or just downsizing even their first homes.
Yep.
And it's an interesting thing. One of the issues is that in smaller, affordable second homes or condos that they may want to move to, there's no tub. And there's a real controversy as to whether or not it pays to give something up and not go to that particular place because there's no tub. But there is always a shower. And that shower can always be converted into a steam shower.
Exactly.
Which may actually have more benefits. And why do people want the tub? Mostly for the relaxation. It doesn't get them any cleaner. It's a relaxing issue. And it's mostly the women. So here is another way to relax using the shower. Because we often think of a shower as a very active, aggressive, noisy place. You get in, you get clean, you get out.
Yep, and that's where we've tried to with steam therapy and the products now to make people stick around in their shower for a while.
Now, one of the things you actually have is a chair. You actually have a bench that people can attach to the and, of course, we work also with adaptable design and accessible design.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important to have a bench in a shower.
Yep, and there are varieties. The average steam shower can be as small enclosures, as little as 3x4, and then I've seen ones that go over 700 to 800 cubic feet. So there's a lot of variety that you can do. Sometimes... In the smaller side, you don't have enough room in there to build a bench that people can sit down on. So we offer a seat that, when it's not in use, flips up into the wall. And when you want to use it, you just push it down. It has a weight limit, I believe, of 250 pounds.
Yes.
But it's a nice seat. It's made of teak. It comes in several different designer finishes. And what's been interesting about it is we discovered after we put it out that not only were we selling it when we did steam showers, but exactly what you were talking about with assisted living homes, a lot of the seats that came out for that were aesthetically not very nice looking,
no.
But functional, but they didn't like the look. And we found a new market for selling to those types of applications too, which has been a unanticipated surprise, but nonetheless a pleasant surprise for us.
Interesting. Now, of course, on a specific question, that should not be... how close should that be to the steam unit where the steam is actually coming out? The steam?
It should be on the opposite wall. So if you're doing a steam room and if you go up to MrSteam.com, you can actually open up a site where it will show you the typically illustrated steam room. And for those people that would be interested in getting literature too, our literature, every different product brochure is up on our website. You just have to click on the download section. And you can download the brochures and print them off and look at them right on your home computer without having to worry about somebody mailing it to you.
And, I mean, very wonderful. The whole thing is very convenient. And before we leave, though, what is the professional that you would need to install this?
You would need two people primarily. You would need a plumber because the plumber would have to bring a water line to the unit, connect the drain, and then bring the steam line into the actual shower itself. And then you would need an electrician. The actual unit is runs on 220 power, but all the controls that go into the steam shower are low voltage and wired directly from the factory. So the electrician would just bring in the power to operate the generator. And lastly, I think your general contractor would be required to ensure that the room itself is sealed properly, because steam requires a sealant on it so you don't get moisture to go between the grout of your tile. And if you go to the Tile Council of America's website, which is tileusa.com, they have a great piece on there that goes into great detail of constructing a steam room. And of course, the last piece of the puzzle is what I mentioned at the start. You need a door that seals the room completely from top to bottom, the shower itself.
So, and there are a lot of stock doors and glass and so on made for that kind of thing.
And that's a very regional thing, because a lot of glass companies do that, so that's probably the worst of the worries.
Yeah.
We're sold primarily through decorative bath shops and plumbing supply shops throughout the United States. And if you go on to our website again and put in the town that you're in, and the it'll give you a listing of all the distributors that carry Mr. Steam.
So this is very, very easy, very turnkey, and fascinating. I think this is one of those places where commerce and good health and spirituality and culture, actually, come all together in one place. And although it sounds funny, why shouldn't it? I mean, with one of the most fundamental functions that we have is being clean, and it's in every home, one way or another. Every home has such a facility. Even airplanes have required to help us keep clean.
Absolutely.
So it's just a fascinating confluence of what really affects us day to day more than some of the things that we concentrate on the most. So we thank you. We've been speaking with Dave Reinhardt, and he's Vice President of Mr. Steam, and that is the website, which is one of the richest in content websites you'll ever find. Just give us that website again.
It's www.mrsteam.com.
Thank you for making it so easy.
Thank you, Adrian.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Now, this is our sort of more or less bottom of the hour hellos. A little bit late, but not bad. I just want you to know that if you go to longevityclubonline.com, go to our website, longevityclubonline.com, you can connect to Adrian. Now, this is a club, but it is a free membership club. There's never any charge. What we do is we go on trips. We send you questionnaires to find out where you would like to go, who you'd like to hear on our radio show. This is Longevity Club, which is the radio arm of the longevityclubonline.com. We find out who you are. We have social pages, teleseminars, all kinds of wonderful things for you to participate in with yourself, your family, really for healthy and wealthy aging. And I think it's probably the only club exactly of its kind, because there are a lot of boomer clubs popping up. But this is something a little different. This is for that special group of people that are really enjoying getting older. And we find that people have that thought starting around age 45 and ending almost never, because we meet and know people in their 90s and even 100 and more that are just all lit up about life. And others that say, well, when I get past 75, I'd like to check out. But you know that our motto is youth. It comes in all ages. And I want to introduce you to our next guest. I'll remind you one more time, longevityclubonline.com. Now, one of the things that I said at the beginning of the show was that I was going to talk more slowly today, more peacefully, have more clarity, and that's because already the spirit of Jonathan Ellerbe is upon me. And he is, many of you know who he is. He has written Return to the Sacred. We're going to talk about a spirituality survey that you can find online with him, how to find your own spiritual personality. But he is very much in keeping with today's theme, that as we get older, we do, and there are actually hard science documents showing that our brains are lighting up in different parts of our brain because we're praying in different ways, because we're feeling more sacred. And we don't always have the right path to it, and this is what Dr. Ellerby has devoted his life to. So thank you for being with us right now. You're a very busy guy right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I am a bit of a busy guy, but it's my pleasure to be here and happy to be talking with you.
I just want to remind everybody that on July 10th to 12th, you'll be at the Omega Institute.
Yeah.
But we have people from all over the country, so anybody who's in Canada, you're going to be the 22nd for Memorial Day weekend here. You'll be doing a book signing in Toronto, isn't that true?
Yeah, that's right. Toronto, I will be there May 22nd at 7 p.m. It's a talk, so I do a free talk for about an hour. Then we do some questions and answers and then sign some books. We do have an event going on, a week-long event at Canyon Ranch for those who want to join us in Tucson, first week of June. And then we also have, as you said, Omega Institute in July and a great Canadian location called Hollyhock, which is on the west coast of Canada. Really a place that's not to be missed, and all that information is on my website if people want to know.
Right. So would they go to returntothesacred.com and find all
that? That's where they can go, returntothesacred.com.
All right, which is also the name of one of your books.
That's right.
So let's talk about that for a moment. We'll get to this, aging and so on, but just in terms of Return to the Sacred, is that a movement that you feel happening all around you?
Huh, that's a good question. I would like to say that I feel it happening all around me, but that's also because of the circles that I run in. I think that there's probably a few things going on in the world, if we were to be really honest about it. I think that there is a huge movement away from the sacred in terms of the momentum of society. And by that, I mean a movement towards commercialism and materialism and a movement towards things always being bigger and better and the culture of more. But in the face of that, there is a growing response. So you have almost like two camps simultaneously growing, the second one slowly eroding away at the first. And yes, the second camp is this group of people of all ages who are saying, you know, especially in the face of this recession that's hit the world, they're saying, you know, maybe we've been focusing on the wrong thing. You know, maybe I don't need to let my situation define me. Maybe I can define my situation. Maybe the things that are most important in life are actually intangible and don't have to do with how much I've got or whether my savings were affected or not. That ultimately there is a quality in this world that makes life meaningful, and that quality in the world we could call sacred, which is something different, I think, for everyone, although I think it evolves in the same way for everyone. So it starts off as a sense of what's important in the world, our values, our ethics, our sense of identity, like who we are, the mark we've made, and then I think it evolves as we grow and as we pursue spiritual practice and as we mature in life, we start to see, you know, that our circles start to expand. I think that's part of the spiritual journey. And then we start to see more than just our family as sacred, but our community, and then our nation, and then maybe every human being on the planet. You know, we see more than just our home and our yard as sacred, but maybe the natural world. You know, maybe animals, maybe the environment itself. We see the sacred evolving from just our ethics and our sense of a desire to do good in the world to actually evolving to have a relationship with a higher power, what some people would call God or supreme being. So it's an evolving concept, it's an evolving relationship, and yes, I do feel, believe, and hope that there is a movement to return to the sacred in life.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you can almost trace the paradigm that you just set out when you look at spirituality and aging and the research being done in that area. So you have to know, Dr. Ellerby, that in that area, most of the people doing the work are in the social science fields.
Yeah.
So they are either social workers, social scientists, gerontologists, sometimes geriatricians, cognitive scientists and neuroscientists. Some of this stuff is really hard science.
Yeah, it's incredible. In fact, I do a lot of talks about the connection between spirituality and health where I work here. I'm the spiritual program director for a health resort called Canyon Ranch that has a very big focus on longevity.
But you say that as if we've never been there. We've all saved our pennies. We're all Canyon Ranch groupies, you know.
Yes, well, come join us. Come hang out with me.
One of the main events of your 60th birthday is somebody takes you to Canyon Ranch.
Yeah, you certainly hope so.
I know. Right.
But again, you know, what I share with people is that what we have now is a body of scientifically based research. It's approximately 50 years old, maybe a little more. And actually a physician, Harold Koenig, has done a recent sort of a meta-analysis of the literature showing over 6,000 studies, rigorous, scientifically valid studies that show that 70% or more of the time having a spiritual practice or being involved in a healthy religious community will actually help you live longer, mm-hmm. get sick less, and heal faster.
Yeah, well, one of my latest books, it's How Not to Go Broke at 102. So you could see it's really a book about money and it's about the material things. But even that, in it, it was very clear that that longevity was the issue. How long are you going to live? And one of the major factors we learned from the Harvard studies was that people who actually pray and feel spiritual before an operation, the Cardiology Association said they are more likely to come out of that operation better than people that don't have that spiritual depth before they go in.
Yep.
So you see this in different permutations everywhere. Now, one of the things that seems to be happening with the boomer is two things at the same time. They're housing still their desire for the material, and they are looking at their futures in terms of where we live, where we travel, will we have the money for it. Simultaneously, where do they want to travel? They want to travel to volunteer.
Uh-huh.
Where do they want to live? They want to live in a spiritual environment.
Yeah.
So it's happening the same. Canyon Ranch is a place to be beautiful and lose weight and do exercises, and at the same time, spirituality. So
right.
I think we're all seekers. I think what's happened is now we're very, very much seekers. When we get older, we write life review. A lot of people who have Alzheimer's, hospice, they're asked to do a life review, life bios. There's a lot of names for it. Almost always, what people write about in the third, fourth stages of their life have absolutely nothing to do with the material.
Correct.
Even if they're not religious, even if they've never prayed, you really have to look hard to find anything that has to do with the material when they write life by and life review. Now, in your book, Return to the Sacred, you actually have protocols for people to get on spiritual paths, and there are many ways that you've got at least a dozen. Can you look at some of those and just basically whet our appetite with some of the things we could really do in our real life to pursue the sacred?
Yeah, and if I could, you know, what I'd like to do is just pick up on something that you said that's very important that will help people make a connection to why they want to pick one of these 12 practices or for that matter, something else, you know, whether they get the book or not. And you said something about how if a person prays and has a spiritual feeling before a surgery. Now, what's really interesting about you saying that you probably know that a lot of listeners don't know, is that this idea of a spiritual feeling, like a sense of peace or awe or reverence or a sense of the sacred, actually shows up in very specific parts of the brain. Andrew Newberg is a neurologist who's written a book, God in the Brain, or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. He talks a lot about what's called the parietal lobe, talks about the effect on the nervous system. But here's the connection to your question about the practices. We don't all engage that feeling and that physiological response the same way. And this is where I think a lot of people of all ages run into trouble, which is they think, oh my gosh, if I'm not into yoga, I'm in trouble because I don't care for that. Or if I don't go to church anymore, I'm in trouble because I don't care for that. You know, what we find is there is a variety of ways to encounter a spiritual feeling or the sacred everywhere in the world. In fact, that's what my research has shown, is that in all cultures we find at least these 12 paths. Now, some examples, I in the book, you know, I talk about prayer as a daily regular practice and what that looks like and feels like when we engage it in a healthy, meaningful way. Movement-based practices are another thing I talk about. So that could be yoga. It could be Tai Chi. It could be Qigong. It could be contemplative walking meditations at a labyrinth, at a church. So there's, you know, we find these things, again, in all traditions. Sacred music and sound is another practice that a lot of people love but don't realize is an actual practice. And that might be, it might look like joining a choir. It might look like joining a singing group or a chanting, you know, chanting sacred songs or divine names. And for some people, they look for it within their own religion or culture. For other people, they look outside their religion or culture. There are so many things. There's also meditation, of course, which a tremendous amount of research has been done on.
And I will reveal that I belong to a meditation group, and I only started it after I reached the age of 60. And I have to say, for me, this is a fantastic avenue. But it's for me. And I would not say that it would have been for me 5 years ago. So it's not just that we're all different in our practices, but at different stages of our lives, different paths might be the right one.
Yes. Although meditation is definitely a good one to try, because there's so much research on neurological health and the brain, and we find that there is certainly greater longevity in terms of brain health, memory, alertness, you know, staving off mental deterioration over time. We see all those benefits among meditators. And yet, what I highlight in my book, and actually this is very much also what the CD set, Your Spiritual Personality, is about, it's about recognizing that a meditative state is different than meditation. So some of your listeners may enter a meditative state when they golf,
yes,
or when they go for a walk, or when they go to garden, or maybe even when they play certain games or sports. That counts, you know. It's just, if you get there, if you find that feeling of peace, connection, meaning in an activity, do more of it.
Now, one of the things that that we do is we are filled with shoulds, particularly when it comes to spirituality. You know, if we were brought up in a religion, you should do this, you should only pray here, then you don't have to pray when you leave the door, all kinds of shoulds. But I think that as we get older, we really get beyond those shoulds. This is the time in life that we throw them out. And there's some fascinating work that you've done in your keynotes. And I want to bring one up only because it relates to our first guest and something I've always wanted to personally do and never got to do. And that was indigenous healing ways, including the ceremonial sweat lodges.
Yeah.
You do some of that work, and Canyon Ranch is located in certain areas in the country where that there's access to that. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking the same thing. I was listening to the early part of the show. And what I explain to people here is that if you look around the world and in our different cultures, ceremonial steam baths, the use of steam and steam environments, is almost universal. We find it in the world's spiritual traditions and in the world's healing and medical traditions. So in particular, what you're asking about is the indigenous or Native American sweat lodge. And basically, this is a small dome-shaped tent, usually big enough to seat about 10 to 14 people sitting in a circle. There is a little pit in the middle, a dugout. So it's a dark space, you know, covered in blankets and tarps. It's got a door that opens up usually with a fire, let's say 10 or 12 feet outside that doorway. And what we do in this ceremony is we are heating stones, like rocks, in the fire. We bring people into the lodge. They sit in a circle around that central pit. We bring the heated stones into the middle of the lodge and then water in. We close the door, and we pour water on those rocks, and it gives off the steam. Now, that's the steam part of it, which, as you talked about earlier, you know, is certainly good for our health. It's great for detoxification. However, what the traditional cultures have done, and I've seen this...
And this is the sacred part now.
That's correct, is that there is ceremony in addition, that this is a time for prayer, for contemplation, for meditation, for singing. In fact, you know, I run these ceremonies, and we actually run them at the lodge. We do an interfaith version. It's not Native American based. It's eclectic, so people of all cultures can try it and feel at home.
Where is this one located, in Arizona?
This is in Tucson, yeah. We call it the Spirit Lodge because it's about strengthening your spirit and connecting you with the spirit. And frankly, we incorporate, and most lodges incorporate almost all the spiritual practices. So there is song, there is meditation, there is prayer. And even for people who don't believe in those things or aren't comfortable with those things yet, as long as there's a willingness to give it a try, there's still a powerful outcome.
Right.
Because maybe instead of praying, they're setting intentions. You know, maybe instead of meditating, they're reflecting. Sometimes it's just semantics that people resist. But the gift is that the darkened space, the heat and the steam, actually cause us to shift our focus of attention. We become more inwardly focused instead of outwardly driven. You know, often people ask me, it's kind of funny, they say, well, why don't you do this? You know, why do we have to do this in a dark, steamy room? Why can't we do this in a lecture hall? Well, because in a lecture hall, we're busy looking at each other, and we're busy judging each other's actions and gestures and behaviors. This is a time where we draw within. And we listen to the heart and to what our, you might say, our gut is telling us. And it truly does have a profound influence on people that come to do it. So I'm glad you asked about it.
Well, you know, all of your protocols, I call them protocols, all of your paths to healing,
yeah.
That you talk about, that you teach, that you help people practice, and you write about in Return to the Sacred. The very beginning of the show, I mentioned, and you weren't on at that time, that I have a 17-year-old, you know, who turns the music on high, and peace and clarity is definitely not what she's after.
Right.
And the reason I think that's true is, and appropriate, is that she is grappling with the outside world. She wants to know what that outside world is about.
Right.
She wants to take everything in she possibly can. And it takes a lifetime to get ready to work with the inside world. So we've had that already. We did the outside world. We're ready for the inside world. And when you make that shift, there's something scary about it, something unfamiliar about it for some people, particularly if they do it because, gee, they've reached a certain birthday and they're beginning to see the future a little differently, as opposed to people who've been practicing this for a very long time, you know, through and have had episodes in their life where they've either meditated or did yoga, particularly difficult for men because women do it more. It's just
right.
In their peer groups more. So it can be scary to actually be with yourself. Yourself
yeah.
To be the scariest person, you know, to be alone with in the room.
Yes, and actually in my work, I work with a lot of people in this exact position you're describing. They're 60s, they're 70s, and they're retiring, but they don't want to retire from life. They're just retiring from whatever they did. And
right.
Now they're faced with this question, which is, well, I know that it's not all about the material world anymore. I know it's about meaning, but what the heck do I do to get there? And how do I do it? Because I just spent the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years
working
doing
on
the opposite.
Exactly, working on
it. You know, and so one of the pieces of advice I always give people is, you know what, it's okay if it gets a little uncomfortable before it gets comfortable, meaning expect it. If you've been a doer all your life and a helper and a pleaser all your life, and you're now going to take an hour out of your day for yoga or an hour out of your day to go to church or an hour out of your day to garden or whatever your practice is, it is going to feel awkward at first, and you will feel selfish and guilty. But remember, if it's about the best life possible, if it's about longevity and wellness, if it's about connecting to something greater, then those are really just feelings that you just need to be patient with, move through them, and they'll pass. They'll diminish with each time you engage that practice. The most important message is don't let fear keep you from embracing your greatest life and your greatest experience of yourself. Because sadly, too many people, and I've seen this firsthand, I've worked in hospitals and in a variety of healthcare settings, too many people, when they lose their job, or pardon me, leave their job, when they retire from their role as parent and householder and, you know, business person or whatever, they retire from life, and very quickly illness shows up.
No question. And,
you know, a healthy spiritual practice connects us to our vitality, and that's about the body. You know,
yeah.
That's about joy and energy.
I think that, again, you know, for a long time I was an elder law attorney, and there's issues in neglect and abuse, which is nothing to do with people being scammed or being hit or whatever. And the issues are, did you provide for your loved one, your older loved one, the ability to have vitality, which is actually a word that's used in the law, and to thrive?
Yes.
And if you haven't, then you've actually neglected them from a legal point of view. So I often wonder, years later, when I don't practice law anymore, how much we neglect ourselves in exactly...
Yes, correct. We would all be guilty of it.
Exactly.
We would
be arrested.
Charged under law for neglecting ourselves.
Exactly. For we do not give ourselves the opportunity for vitality and the ability to thrive. And when you get older, one of the issues, particularly in our case, because we all think we're getting much, much older in the longevity club, is that you get isolated. Why do you get isolated? You get isolated because other people die earlier than you. But when you have learned to thrive and know your own self, you are awfully good company for your own self. And then you have a lot of power to reach out to new other people.
If I could interject, you know, I think one of the things that shapes this challenge that you're talking about is the social culture. And that's why, you know, I think you know, I've started something called the Spirituality Survey. And actually, anyone who's listening, I really strongly encourage them to participate. You can just go to a website called thespiritualitysurvey.com or my website, Return to the Sacred. It takes literally 1 minute to fill it out. We don't take any personal information, but what we're doing is we're trying to gather information about what, North America's perspective on spirituality really is, because the social conversation around spirituality is still dominated by the extremes of science and the extremes of religion. And I think what happens is it leaves everyone else feeling awkward. Well, maybe spirituality is for those kinds of people.
Right.
And by that, they either mean people who are maybe extremely religious to an extreme that's uncomfortable, or maybe they're... maybe they're new age, and maybe they see that as a negative thing. But what we hope to show through this survey, if enough people participate, is that it's just a part of everyone's life. And we need to stop stigmatizing it and making it so contrived, and just recognize that just like physical health and emotional health, it's a part of what it means to be human, and let's just get on with doing the best we can with what we've got.
Well, I'll be delighted to put a link to that right on our Longevity Club site.
Oh, thank you.
People could just link right to it, complete the spirituality survey. I actually see the icon for it on returntothesacred.com.
Correct.
Which is Dr. Ellerbee's site, and he's the author of Return to the Sacred. In the last couple of minutes, a lot of the people listening are in the New York area. What are you going to be doing at the Omega Institute for the 3 days of July that you're there?
So what we'll be doing in Omega will be a workshop that is very experiential. It's about introducing people to a very clear picture of understanding how we evolve spiritually as individuals. And it's a picture that people can engage from, you know, any age or life position. It's about helping us understand what our next step is. And then once we've established that, then we go into helping people to assess what is their spiritual personality, meaning what are their leanings, what are their preferences, and then experientially taste some of the many practices available to them that then they can take home and make a regular part of their life.
Make it happen.
So there's a transformative healing process at work. So if that's all you do is the weekend, you know, you should come out a better person. But our hope is that you will take something home and make a better life.
Well, this is wonderful. I mean, it's just an amazing life that you live and what you give. And it opens the door to a lot of people, as you say, who don't see themselves as extreme in any direction, to mainstream spirituality. And It's coming right at the right time, again, as America ages. And as we know from all kinds of disciplines, we do care a lot more about our legacy and about our spirituality. So thank you so much. This has been Jonathan Ellerbe.
Thank you all.
Return to the Sacred and returntothesacred.com. And this is Adrian Berg. Go to the Longevity Club online and just give us your email. Have a wonderful week.